From Jewish Small Communities Network, this is JSCN. And I'm your host, Ed Horich. Welcome wherever you're listening from today. I know we've got people in Southport, in Childwall, in Bristol, in Nottingham, South Manchester, Pembroke, Abu Aberdeen, over in Scunthorpe, in Gillingham, in Norwich. And I know we've got listeners over in America, Australia and Germany as well. I'm sure lots of other places. Wherever you are, you're very welcome. Do send me an email. Let me know just how far we've reached and let me know if there's anything that you'd like us to feature in future editions of JSCN. Now, what's been happening since the last show? Well, I went over to Leeds to meet with around about 20 communities that have come together for the Chief Rabbi's Regional Leaders Meeting. And I have to say, that was very interesting hearing about all the projects all over the country. So, for instance, Norwich is developing a visitor centre, a long legacy of Jewish history in Norwich. And they're going to be able to tell the wider community all about that legacy. Similarly, over in Leicester, a very big project going on there, developing education. That's enabling them to both refurbish part of their synagogue and to teach the wider community about Jewish life. Very important in terms of understanding what our community is all about. Simon Johnson was there from the Jewish Leadership Council, looking at sustainability of community services around the country. And in Leeds itself, and Rabbi Kleinman was talking about how rebranding, making things more interesting for the community at large, more people were being included. And he was using the example of The Zone and ZoneEd, which is a groundbreaking community project. Fascinating. People should go and visit. So now, time to get into our main feature this week, the Jewish Manifesto for Local Government. Well, we think of a manifesto usually as a party or a candidate setting out what they stand for. But the Board of Deputies seems to have turned this on its head a little bit, and they've turned things around. So what is a Jewish manifesto all about? I asked Philip Rosenberg from the Board of Deputies.
Well, we felt that it was important to try and inform candidates of different parties what the Jewish community wanted in the elections, but also to empower members of the Jewish community who wanted to be able to ask about issues that were important to them as Jews, to be able to have the information in a place where they could have it by the door, so whenever anyone knocks on the door and says, will you vote for me, they could ask them about those issues. So it was for really two audiences.
Why particularly do you think such a document was needed?
Well, we felt that actually there were a lot of issues that were not dealt with by national government or even regional government, but were dealt with by local authorities in terms of the Jewish community, whether that's issues around particular arrangements for local community safety, tackling anti-Semitism is, of course, important. We know that in many cases, or in a number of cases, Jewish communities have been concerned when councils have passed anti-Israel motions or flown flags in a way that made the community feel uncomfortable. There have been recently very high-profile issues around coroners and also issues that affect smaller communities. You know, because I know that people who live outside larger Jewish communities, they want social care, sometimes struggle to get their local authority to pay for them to have access social care facilities in London, Manchester, or any of the other Jewish communities that have those care homes. So we wanted to really create a document that would make it clear to local authorities, local councillors, how they could support their local Jewish communities, whether those are larger Jewish communities or smaller Jewish communities.
So you mentioned that it was reaching out to those local communities which had Jewish populations, Manchester, Leeds, Liverpool, places like that. But there are, like I say, Jews in every borough, in every county in the country. Is it actually going to reach those boroughs, those councillors?
Yeah, well, we're trying to make sure it's gone everywhere. So we've sent it through the LGA to every one of the party groups to distribute among all their candidates across the country. And what we're doing is, after we've sent it out, we're running a series of seminars for local authorities across the country, done by region. So we've done one, we've had them in Greater London, in Greater Manchester, in Newcastle and Gateshead. We've got one coming up for the East and West Midlands for both the more substantial Jewish communities around Birmingham and Nottingham, for example, but also for all the local authorities in that area. And of course, one, in fact, which you attended, Ed, in Leeds for the
In
Yorkshire
Leeds.
region as well.
Yes.
So we are trying to reach as many people as possible, because as you say, there are Jews in every local authority area. And what we specifically said in this manifesto is local Jewish communities are smaller. In fact, there's a whole section on smaller Jewish communities, which makes reference, in fact, to local authorities getting in touch with yourselves and the Jewish Smaller Communities Network, that says that there are, you know, where there are smaller numbers of Jews, there may be particular issues. They may be particularly intimidated by hostility, anti-Semitic hostility or hostility to Israel.
So you mentioned reacting to anti-Semitism there.
Yeah.
Obviously, at the moment, anti-Semitism is very much up in the headlines. I don't suppose that this document was conceived mainly to counter such things, but do you think it has a role now with this heightened awareness?
It has a very important role. I mean, anti-Semitism has been in the headlines for some years now, and particularly allegations of the Labour Party, but also we've had today a council candidate in the Conservative Party suspended, have been, you know, around for a couple of years. So it has been produced with that in the background. And indeed, the first chapter in the local government manifesto is about anti-Semitism. And just how topical it is established by the fact that the ask...
I was going to ask. I mean, you've got a certain number of things in there labelled policy asks. So is this what you're referring to?
Yes, exactly. Throughout the document, under each section, you've got policy asks. But because not every politician, we would hope every politician would read the thing cover to cover, but not every single one is going to read it cover to cover. We have, at the beginning of each of our manifestos, and indeed in this manifesto, what we call the 10 commitments, which are a summary of what the document essentially says as a whole. And those 10 commitments will give a summary of each of the chapters, if you like. What are the things we're asking for? And the first one of those commitments, I'll just read it to you, is to oppose anti-Semitism, anti-Muslim hatred, and all forms of racism, adopt the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance's working definition of anti-Semitism and its appended examples to provide guidance to elected officials and public servants about this persistent form of prejudice. So that's the very first item. And it's very topical as we speak today, because on Tuesday, when colleagues from the Board of Deputies and the Jewish Leadership Council met with Jeremy Corbyn, one of the issues they were asking him to do was to ensure that the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance definition of anti-Semitism had been adopted by Labour and was being distributed. Labour announced that it had adopted it in December 2016. It turned out in the meeting they had only adopted three sentences and not all the appended examples. So they are behind, in a sense, where over 100 local authorities are, where the UK government is, where the Scottish government is, where the Welsh government is, because they've all adopted the full IRA, as we call it, International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance definition in full. And so it's a really important time for those local authorities who want to show solidarity with the Jewish community with this heightened awareness of anti-Semitism to adopt this definition with all its appended examples, because that's very important. It gives a clear steer as to what anti-Semitism is, because you can't easily fight anti-Semitism unless you know what it is. And so this helps people to recognise it.
So do you think if local councillors see the parliamentary part of politics hesitating, that's going to raise a question mark over easily adopting what's in this document?
I don't think so. I really don't think so. Because, as I've said, government has adopted it. The Scottish government, the Welsh government, the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance itself is made up of 31 countries. It's not, you know, even just a Jewish community definition. It is one that has really been put together with very careful thought. And we believe it is a very good definition, that it seeks to encapsulate the main forms of anti-Semitism that we see. And even for those who sort of say, well, you know, how can I be sure that I'm going to be able to occasionally offer legitimate criticism of Israel? We say this is a very helpful guide, because it describes a number of circumstances where criticism of Israel might become anti-Semitic, but by definition, everything else pretty much is fair game. So, you know, it's wrong to support terrorism against Jewish people. That's probably obvious as a form of anti-Semitism. It's wrong to compare Israel to a Nazi state. In some contexts, anti-Zionism, denying the Jewish people of all the people in the world the right to self-determination, can be anti-Semitic too. So it defines those a few things that could be anti-Semitic, but, you know, criticism of Israeli government policy, like any policy, is still possible. Doesn't mean we'd agree with them, but, you know, it's not anti-Semitic necessarily.
So thinking about local communities, people who might want to get involved themselves, are there key things that you think people should do? Because presumably they'll want to go and download this document. which they can do. They can download it from the Border Deputies website, I'm sure, and they can certainly download it from the Jewish Small Communities Network website, which people have been doing, I noticed. If they were to take this document, read it, and then want to approach their local councillors, what would you suggest their approach is?
Well, I would look up the email addresses of their candidates for their local wards and send them a link to the manifesto and ask them, will you support these 10 local commitments? After the election, send the same email to, when the councillors have their email addresses on the council website, ask them then, will they support these 10 local commitments? Offer to meet with them, offer to talk them through the information. And the idea that we've provided here is that we've provided information that people can talk with confidence about the issues affecting Jewish communities at a local level. And if they need any help or support, they should be in touch with us at the Board of Deputies, and we're very happy to give additional advice. What we want to do is empower our community to make the ask that needs to make. You know, the Board of Deputies, we have 300 deputies, we have about 15 staff. But actually, our greatest asset is the community. The community speaking out, empowered, is really the best way that we can ensure that the influence of the Jewish community, that the things that we need are understood by politicians at every level. And so I would encourage people to take this document and make sure that they can be part of expressing the Jewish community's wants and needs to their local politicians. Because ultimately, they need to respond to them. They're their local constituents, their local residents. So we hope that this will be useful.
So let's be clear, this document isn't just for this round of local elections. Yeah. People can use this. It might get revised in future, I suppose, but you can continue to use it for years potentially to come.
We've written it in that way. It's not so specific to the moment now. There are certain things that probably pertain very particularly to now, but very little of it will date. Many of these things are issues that will be consistently of interest to the Jewish community. I'd love it if in the next edition of this, we had to include less of the issues because local authorities were so well informed by this process that many of these things were taken as read. But at the moment, look, many local authorities are quite good on these things, but we want to make sure that there's consistency across the board. We want to make sure we don't have incidents where there are coroners who are refusing to provide a certification to enable quick burials. We want to make sure the local authorities are supporting people to receive the care in the place that they can receive it in a culturally sensitive way. We want to ensure that where communities want to, for example, put up an eruv, that this is understood by local authorities as a positive thing. We've said all those things out there. We hope that this will continue to push in the right direction for the vibrancy of Jewish communities, large and small, across the UK.
So where local people have an area perhaps that they perceive is in conflict with their local councillors, what is the approach you suggest people take in those circumstances?
Well, I suggest that they write to those local councillors and politely but firmly explain problems, request a meeting so that they can explain them fully, perhaps invite them if there's a synagogue or whatever to see that, to visit it, to understand what our community is about. I think one of our strongest assets, by the way, is our, you know, Friday night dinners. If you're they're hosting Friday night dinners, think about inviting people to attend those because it's a really powerful asset that we have as in terms of our showing people who we are. But invite people in whatever format you feel comfortable to have a discussion about those things. Explain why we have the request that we have and see if they'll change their mind. If they want, again, any support or advice on how to approach it, we at the Board of Deputies are very happy to offer advice on the approaches. If there's a particularly challenging issue, people not sure quite how to put it in a way that is, as I say, both polite but firm, we can help advise on that. So the thing I would say to people is, look, these people are elected to serve you. They're elected to serve residents. Even if you didn't vote for a local councillor, they serve you in your area. They are accountable to you, and you should invite them to speak. If you don't get what you want, there are ways to push that further. We're very happy to advise, but those are the general ways that I would suggest people think about influencing their local politician.
Now, I know you're no stranger to local politics because you've been a local councillor yourself. How do you think your fellow councillors have responded both to this document and the current heated debate about anti-Semitism?
Councillors across the country are tweeting their support for this document. The leaders of all the local government association groups have sent in statements of support for it. We've had a very positive reaction. You know, I can't say it's unanimous. I don't know what is in the mind of every local authority councillor or candidate. But there is a lot of positivity around this document. I think that in general terms, a lot of local councillors are are people who support many of the things that we would care about, although there is a lot of ignorance. This is part of why we've produced this document.
Going forward, do you think the board is going to be producing more of these documents in different ways?
As I said, we've produced at every level of government so far, so national, regional, and now local. We also, in the past, produced for the European Parliament. And we produce a lot of kind of policy documents. I mean, we produced one about Brexit and the Jewish community. That was a joint publication with our colleagues at the Jewish Leadership Council. We produced guides on various forms of religious practice, whether that's employment rights of Jewish people. We work at the Board of Deputies to support Jews in the workplace to get, for example, time off for religious festivals or the Sabbath, or to advise employers about the needs of Jewish communities in terms of bereavement or kosher food or any number of things. We've also produced a guide for lawyers and family courts for usually, unfortunately, the sad case of divorces, advising on what the Jewish needs are in those circumstances. We are very much about producing advice that empowers professionals, leaders, influencers, opinion formers, and Jewish community members to live the fullest Jewish life and to provide the best environment for a full Jewish life in this country.
My thanks to Philip Rosenberg for telling us all about the Jewish Manifesto for Local Government. And if you're interested, want a copy yourself, very easy. Go to the jscn.org.uk website, that's the Jewish Small Communities Network. You can find it listed under our resources menu, and you can download it as a PDF. So what can you look forward to coming up in future episodes of JSCN? We've got Keith Farrell, film director. He came into the studio and told us about the first female rabbi. Regina Jonas was born in Germany in the first half of the 20th century and became a rabbi in Berlin in the 1930s. She seemed to be forgotten after the war and only came to light again after the fall of the Berlin Wall. Also look out for the upcoming podcast that I recorded with Asaf Sinova. He is the biographer of Abba Riban, the diplomat from the 1960s and 70s. He talked to us about the reasons for failure in the peace process in the past, and what's the prospect for success of peace in the future. And of course, don't forget our regular feature, the Full Bagel, the community profiles we do. We've got Ben Rich talking about the York community, and of course, part two of my visit to Newcastle, this time talking to Linda and Brenda from the Newcastle Reform Shul. Thank you for listening to this episode of JSCN. This has been Ed Horwich. You've been listening to the Jewish Small Communities Network.